Blog Talk Radio.
I, the quintessential stud muffin, the lyrical miracle, and the sexual intellectual, Joel, my lust juice, has a high protein content. You won't believe the amount. She won't believe it when I put your girlfriend in an MMA mount. But it'll be a triple X showcase. But I don't mean to boast, brag, or flaunt, because I am currently tuned in and wired up with the boys of False Count Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of False Count Radio, proudly presented by WrestleHustle.com. For all of the latest wrestling and MMA news and notes, head on over to WrestleHustle.com. As always, I'm the Pacific Coast player, JT Evans, tonight alongside ECW original Pitbull number one, Gary Wolf. Gary, how are you doing tonight?
Great. How's everybody out there doing? Welcome to the show.
Doing great, man. And, of course, we're going to be joined here on the air tonight by former WCW ECW valet, Gorgeous George, joining us at the 15-minute mark of this show. She's going to be staying on for about 45 minutes, and then we're going to go to a commercial, and we'll be back with the original gangster, New Jack. So, real quick, without further ado, let's welcome our other co-host. He is WAW Female Wrestling's owner. That's WAWFemaleWrestling.com, fans. Let's welcome to the air the Pure Poison Viper.
How's it going?
It's going good, man. Of course, there's a lot of wrestling news for us to talk about. I don't know how much you've been following news-wise, but it's been brought to my attention that Jim Cornette made a little threat. Well, actually, it wasn't a little threat. A big threat towards Vince Russo. Now, how he went about it was, I guess he had emailed Terry Taylor with an email talking about how much he hated Russo, and during the email basically states that he goes to sleep every night, and all he can think about is how he's going to kill Vince Russo. So it got back to TNA office, and then the attorneys went ahead and contacted Jim Cornette, sent him a letter back, and Jim Cornette fired back by posting it on his website and then making little comments, and now it's gone as far as to Eric Bischoff and him going back and forth via Facebook and Twitter. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open the phone lines at 347-994-2320. I want to hear your fans' thoughts on the situation, and, you know, what do you think? Do you think Jim Cornette was in the right? Gary, go ahead.
I met Russo, and I have had Cornette as my manager for me and my partner back in the day. So, I mean, I'm surprised to hear that. They must be having a lot of feuds between the two of them, I mean, because I haven't heard anything that was going on unless they have heat among each other.
I think the heat's more along, you know, along the end of Jim Cornette. I mean, the only thing Vince Russo's ever said about Jim Cornette was, hey, I heard the man hates me. So, pretty much, I do not see, you know, why Jim would go as far as to send the email over to Terry Taylor. I mean, Terry Taylor, you know, and then in the email that Jim Cornette wrote out, he was like, well, this ends a friendship between me and Terry Taylor. Now, I'm sorry, if I was in Terry Taylor's shoes and I'm working for TNA, I'm going to do what's right. I'm in a position where I'm going to keep my job, and I'm going to forward it over to my employee. I mean, that's another person in the company that he's threatening. What do you think, Viper?
I think that, I mean, I used to watch Cornette on TV, you know, all the time. But I'm actually, you know, I'm right there. I'm kind of surprised to hear that. And I don't know if Cornette's aware, but seriously, it's, you know, I don't think the same law would probably apply on email. It might, but at least here in California, death threats are, you know, you can't go doing that crap anymore. You know, he's like, you know, oh, you back off, I'm going to kill you, you know. And yeah, you do that and you're facing 20 years for a law that they're claiming now is an act of terrorism.
You know, and you bring up a good point. Here's what I've got to say, okay. Jim Cornette sits here, and like I said, you know, if I was in Terry Taylor's shoes, I would have forwarded it over to my boss, who obviously forwarded it over to their attorneys, and I'm sure that the police have been contacted. I mean, Jim Cornette, I swear, has lost his marbles. Like I mentioned last night in the chat room that was on another show that was discussing the same situation. you know, for Jim to actually go as far to do that is crazy. But I've seen shoot interviews on YouTube of Jim Cornette doing a Q&A session. I think it was actually in North Carolina, and he starts going off on ICP just because they're sitting in the crowd talking about, I fucking hate those fucking clowns, you fucking blah, 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 and just going off. So I am not surprised that Jim Cornette did this, but at the same time, you know, Jim Cornette sits here and he says he's one of the best bookers in the business, and I think it's a hint of jealousy towards Vince Russo. I mean, Vince Russo led WCW to beating Vince in the Monday Night Wars for, what was it, like 83 weeks in a row? So I think Jim Cornette is sitting here, and I think he's just jealous. Gary, your thoughts?
Maybe he's out of the loop. You know, he wants to get in the loop, you know, wants to get over here and work with Terry Taylor and Russo and Bischoff and Hogan, and, you know, now he sees that there's another company starting up again. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if other people don't start doing stupid stuff like that as well, just to get attention, so they hope to get a job.
See, but here's the one thing, though. He worked for TNA. Actually, as a matter of fact, he didn't just work for TNA. He had an office job with TNA, working with everyone in the company, and then when he found out Hogan and them were coming, and he left. So I don't get why he's going as far as to send a death threat. I mean, he's in a good position right now. If I was Jim Cornette, I'd be happy. He's working for Ring of Honor. I mean, Ring of Honor has its own style. Kevin Kelly, former WWE ring announcer, is there. Jerry Lynn is there. I mean, there's a lot of great talent there. If I was him, I'd be happy. No need to send a death threat to a guy from another company. I mean, seriously, especially if he ever wants to make it either back to the WWE or back to TNA. He can't be sending death threats.
No, and also I remember I heard this a while ago. It's an automatic 365 days if you threaten somebody like that.
You know, and I don't think Jim Cornette cares, and that's one issue right there is I do not think he cares. So, but I like I said, I want to take some fans' calls. So fans, I want to hear your opinion. Was Jim Cornette in the right or the wrong for threatening and the way he went about it? You can call in at 347-994-2320. And of course, in about 10 minutes, we're going to be joined live by Gorgeous George. And then at 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific, we're going to have New Jack on. So, but we are going to be taking calls. So if people want to call in and state their, you know, their opinion, then they go ahead and can. And otherwise, we're going to go ahead and continue on with other news. And, you know, one of the other things in the news that seems to be pretty hot, at least on FalseCountRadio.com, is Lacey Lately, the new written article by current TNA knockout Lacey Von Erich. In addition one, it's called Lacey Lately on the Road. And she talks about a three-day tour that ended up with them getting stuck off or getting stranded because they didn't catch their flight, drinking in a bar, going to different shows, talking about pranking the fans who put their number on Facebook, and much more. It's a very interesting article. You can head on over to FalseCountRadio.com where you can find out more about that. Viper, you've actually had a chance to check out the site. What do you think, man?
It is awesome. As a matter of fact, I read that article, and definitely, fans, you should definitely go check that out. It is just awesome to read that story. And I got to say, you know, Lacey, she's a good writer. She's a darn good writer.
Yeah, now, real quick, I want to go back into the Jim Cornette thing. People in the chat room, Stevie Ray 76 actually says, Jim Cornette is disgruntled and feels betrayed by a good friend. Terry Taylor, or TT as he put it, could have just deleted the email and considered the ramblings of an old man. Well, you know, Stevie, you were right at that point, but at the same time, if you're going to get an email in your box and you read it and you feel that it could hurt somebody in the company, and, I mean, they're trying to build the company right now. They can't have one of their guys getting hurt because some guy decided to fall off his rocker and beat somebody up. So, you know, I understand where you're coming from, Stevie, but I think that he was completely in the wrong. Gary, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you, Corey, on that. I mean, if somebody emailed me, I mean, if my employee received a threatening, death-threatening email toward me, and they didn't tell me about it, I'd be pretty pissed. And God forbid, if something would happen, the person who deleted it would probably be more guilty or just as guilty as the person who threatened it.
You know, and that's very true, because that's like, you know, being on the phone for murder. If you said, oh, I wasn't on the phone, I don't know what's going on. You know what I mean? It's like, he had to do what was right, and in his position, what was right was sending it over to the TNA office for them to examine and then send over to their lawyers.
Yeah, I mean, they're not sure if this is a really serious thing or it's a joke or, but God forbid, if it is a serious thing, somebody's got to know about it.
Well, yeah, and I mean, that's like Damian Demento. Damian Demento, when he was doing his rants, and this kind of goes back to Jim Cornette. Damian Demento was doing rants and saying he was going to be outside Madison Square Garden, and if somebody bled in the main event, then he was going to jump the barrier and interfere in the match and stop it. I mean, for somebody to make a threat like that, obviously security was ready for him at the venue because it was very open on the internet. And so for Jim Cornette to sit here and send an email, it's the same way, dude. They need to be notified. You know what I mean? So, Viper, any thoughts?
Well, all I know is, I've been there myself, dealing with emails and stuff like that, getting death threats and everything. And, death threats piss me off. I can sympathize with Russo on that one, and I'd probably do the same thing. I'd forward it off to a lawyer and then God forbid if it kept going and going and going, I'd show up at the Bozo's door and be like, "You wanna say it to my face? Let's go." That's just me. That's the real me talking.
I hear what you're saying. I wouldn't show up at the door. Honestly, I would just let it to where, it would go to the office. I wouldn't even take it upon myself or, interject myself like that to go over to the guy's house.
You come to my house, dude, you're getting shot.
Exactly. I mean... Yeah, if you came to my house and did that shit, bro, there would be major issues. So I agree with Gary.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think I told you the story, JT, when somebody did that to me, and I told him, because he threatened. The last threatening email I got was from somebody who I claimed, who I thought at that time was a friend. And he threatened me, said he was going to bring a gun back here and freaking off my family. So I told him, dude, show up. My advice, don't miss.
Exactly. And honestly, I don't agree at all with what Jim Cornette did or even to post it on his website. I mean, I'm sorry, if you send a personal email to somebody and they have the lawyer contact you back, that doesn't give you the right to post the lawyer's statement on your website for the whole world to read. And then he's sitting here on his website going, "Oh, well, I'm not done, fans. If I get another email from the attorney, I'll post it for you guys, and you guys will be the first ones to read it." I'm sorry. It shouldn't be like that. I mean, Jim Cornette was back in the old days when there was a such thing called kayfabe. So why does he got to make everything public on his website, Gary?
I didn't know he was working for Ring of Honor, so I'm glad you smartened me up about that. But regardless, I mean, if he's posting the stuff on his site, he's trying to get attention. That's what it comes down to.
Viper?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's just some sick way of getting attention. Like another individual that we know, JT, but we won't mention any names.
Yeah, I don't want to put anybody over. But,
Yeah.
But we have 1 minute till we're supposed to get Gorgeous George on, so we're going to go to our first commercial. While we're on commercial, fans, why don't you head on over to falsecountradio.com, check it out, and give us your thoughts. We'll be back in just a few minutes with former WCW valet Gorgeous George. Fans, stay tuned.
Wrestling fans, are you looking for up-to-the-minute news, views, and interviews featuring the hottest upcoming stars and legends from pro wrestling's past, present, and future? Smart Mark Radio has all that and then some. Join your role model, Rick Lee, Jared, Jayhawk Hawkins, and me, the Hitman, Tony T, every Sunday night at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific at www.logtalkradio.com/smartmarkradio. That's www.logtalkradio.com/smartmarkradio. I'll see you there.
and gentlemen, welcome back to False Count Radio. Without further ado, let's welcome Gorgeous George. George, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing just great. And, of course, I've got Pitbull Gary Wolf on the line. Gary, go ahead.
Hey, you.
How are you doing?
Hey,
sweetheart, how you been, honey?
I've been all right. I guess I haven't really, but I'm hanging in there. How you doing?
All good. Better than I was doing, put it that way. Just hanging and banging. How's the family and everybody?
Right on. That's good. I had a staph infection, and then I got rid of that, and then I went straight into this knee thing I got. I got in a car wreck with a deer a couple weeks ago. So I've had a chain of bad luck. But out of it, out of the ashes was, I got a new car, I'm getting my knee fixed, and I'm getting a brand new tooth. So I'm like, yay. So the car wreck wasn't for nothing. That's about it.
Well, at least you're safe.
Yeah, and I'm alive, so that's a good thing. And I don't have any grass in my face no more, so I'm all good. So what else is going on?
Damn, sounds like you have had a string of unfortunate events happen. And I actually had a question for you, and that was, were you a wrestling fan growing up?
No, actually I was a fan of the wrestling cartoon, Rock and Roll Wrestling. And that's funny that I ended up being with Randy after watching that when I was like 8. So I would watch it every once in a while. My dad was never like into any male kind of sports things, on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So we just never watched it. I don't think it wasn't that I wasn't into it. I just never watched it. My dad never watched it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What are your earliest memories of the business?
Watching Hogan and Andre the Giant and Randy, Miss Elizabeth, stuff like that. Let me think. Million Dollar Man. Rowdy Piper. All the big timers back in my day, that was about it. We'd flash it, TV would flash on. I'd watch it for 5 minutes. I used to like the old wrestling better than, I don't like it really now. I mean, back then it was more like about the show and the clothing and the glitz and glamour. Now it's just like, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of it. I don't watch wrestling at all now.
Oh, so you don't like the sports entertainment era. You liked it when it was actually two guys getting in there and it was about their work, not about the story.
Right. Yeah, and I liked the flashy costumes and the gimmick. Everybody had a gimmick and, it wasn't just a pair of Speedos and that was it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know. You had Hacksaw Jim Duggan and stuff like that. And, everybody had their own little thing. I liked it like that. Now today, the gimmicks are just, they're not like they were then. I don't know, that's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, wrestling wasn't your first career choice, so what did you do before breaking into business?
Oh, I was a stripper for years. It's so terrible. If I was to fill out an application, all I could really write down was, stripper, wrestling, and now in a band. Whoop-de-doo, no one's going to hire me.
there's reports all over the internet that when you were a kid, you were a little badass. You want to elaborate on that?
I grew up in a really pretty tough neighborhood, and everybody kind of got into a lot of trouble when we were young. And I came from a lot of, my parents were the only parents that were still together. Everybody else in the neighborhood's families were all, broken homes and stuff. So all the kids I grew up with, they only lived with their mother or their father, so they were always alone, so we always had somewhere to party. So more or less, every house that was a friend of mine was a party house. So not only did we live in the hood, we had free access to whatever we wanted to do 24 hours a day. So it's kind of a free-for-all. So we were all getting into trouble real young. I started getting in trouble at 12, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's just like, and then everybody started getting on. There was this one kid that kind of came to our neighborhood from Georgia, and he just was like 3 years older than us, brought drugs to the neighborhood, and from that point on, he just destroyed everybody in our neighborhood on drugs. And everybody got addicted to it. Everybody went crazy. Everybody was stealing, and you name it, everybody got in trouble.
Have you seen anybody from that area, you know, since then?
I still talk to everybody all the time, and it's so sad because 99% of my friends that we all, there was probably, like, we grew up in a, this is a weird situation, but, like, a friend of ours' parents owned a bait shop, and what they did is they took all the bait shop stuff out of it and let us, all us runaways, live there. So there was, like, it was a house full of, like, 15 to 20 runaways, and we would go steal all night long, car stereos, this, that, this, whatever, and sell them to get the money just to live. And then when we all got on drugs, it got 10 times worse. So then it just escalated, you know what I mean? And this was normal where I was from. It was totally normal. And now I still talk, I'm like, out of all the people I grew up with, there's probably four of us that are not still on drugs that are that got out of that environment and atmosphere and are not in prison still.
Damn, well, you're one of the lucky ones then, obviously.
Yeah, you know what? And I still struggle every day with addiction, and I always will. You know what I mean? Once you've got that bug, it kind of stays with you, so, you know. That's that for that. I mean, I haven't messed with that in a long time, but you know, it's always in the back of your head. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Addict, always an addict. That's what I say. That I guess.
How'd you initially meet Randy Savage?
At a strip club. he happened to be at the place that I only worked there for a half a day. I met him there that night, and the story's really long if you guys want to hear it, but I could shorten it. But anyways, I met him at the Tampa. I'm sorry, I'm a little out of it, guys. I'm on a Vicodin and for my knee, and it's just got me whacked out, itching everywhere. So anyways, what was I saying? I met him at the Dollhouse in Tampa, and I got kicked out of there that night for getting in a fight with Evil Knievel. And Randy invited me to come over to his house for a party or whatever, and I didn't want to. I just met the guy. I wasn't going to go over there. And they kicked me out and threw me out of the Dollhouse in a sequin gown in the parking lot with four bouncers because I was going to beat the shit out of Evil Knievel. So we, long story short, he ended up giving me his phone number. I never called him. Moved in with this girl, she was another stripper, and she's like, didn't you say, me and her were not actually getting along very well at the time, and she says, didn't you say you met Randy Savage? I go, yeah, like 6 months ago, why? And she, I go, yeah, at a strip club, why? And she goes, well, don't you get his phone number? I go, yeah, why? And she goes, well, my little brother wants to go, and if you, more or less, she didn't say this, but she didn't have to, if you don't want me to ruin all your shit, you better call him and see if we can get free tickets to the show. So I was like, she used to put her dog in my room and let it eat up my high heels and shit. So I was just like, all right, fuck it. So I call him on the phone, and I said, I got the answer machine. I was so happy because I didn't want to look like an ass and haven't seen this guy or talked to him but once in my whole life and then call him want something. You know what I mean? Like, fuck, now I got to call and answer tickets. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So she's standing in my doorway, and she's standing, like, tapping her foot while she's watching me use the phone. And I said, hi, I don't know if you, because I got the answer machine, so I was happy. I was like, ah, good. And I go, hi, I don't remember if you remember me or not. I'm the girl you met at the Dollhouse that got kicked out. I was wondering if you, if our little brother, my friend's little brother is poor, doesn't have any money for tickets for the show, and I wanted to know if you could get us some tickets. Well, 2 seconds later, the phone rings back, it's Randy, and he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, I remember you. How are you doing? I said, I'm doing good. I go, I'm sorry I called you and asked you that. And he's like, no, I'm glad you did. He goes, I was wondering why you never called. And I said, I've just been busy, and, you know, I was working a lot and stuff, and I really didn't want to call him back, you know? So I didn't. So then anyways, he was just like, after, he goes, then I went to the show, and then I saw Randy. I was like less than a foot from him and didn't talk to him. And he goes, did you go to the, then he calls the next day. And he goes, did you go to the show? I go, yeah, I went. And he goes, well, how come you didn't come and talk to me? I said, I didn't, you were with Liz, and I didn't want to interrupt. You know, you guys were talking over the show and stuff, so I didn't want to be, you know, in the way or whatever. And he's like, no, you wouldn't have been in the way at all. What are you doing tonight? And I was like, I couldn't stand my roommate at the time. Like, I hated her guts. And I was just like, I'm not doing anything wise. Like, and I was starving. I had no money, and I just, because I was just doing terrible at work lately. He's like, do you want to go out to dinner? I was like, yeah. So he took me to dinner, and it was our first date, you know. And it was, like, the nicest date that anyone had ever took me in at the time. And he was a gentleman, and we became, like, really close friends. And that went from there to there to there to there, and we hung out all the time, and we liked, both of us liked working out. So we became really close friends, and he got sick of her, my old roommate, and said, you know what, fuck her. You can live with me. And then that's how our relationship started.
Now, you said you got in a fight with Evel Knievel. Can you, like, elaborate on that?
Oh, that motherfucker. Well, anyways, okay, I had $3 left to my name because I just moved from Chicago down to Florida. I had $3 sitting on the bar. Now, this is how this went. You talk about a surreal life and a weird situation, okay? It was me. It was the bar, right? So it's like me. On my left side was Randy. I didn't even notice he was there. I didn't notice anybody was there because it was topless. And this was, like, the first time I was ever going on topless, like, on a stage. I was freaking out, and there was one girl that was on stage before me, so I was waiting to go up. So they're like, in a minute, we're going to have Ricky go on stage. And in my mind, I'm like, fuck, I'm starting to freak out. Started to hyperventilate. So then all of a sudden, some old dude standing next to me, I had no idea who. I haven't seen a picture of Evel Knievel since he was in his 70s in his prime. How the hell would I know that was him when he was, like, looking like he was 100, you know what I mean? So anyways, he hits me as hard as he can in my arm, and he goes, why don't you buy me a drink? And just at that point in time, you just fucked with the wrong motherfucker, because I was ready. I was not wanting to go on stage. I was starting to cry because I had to go topless and stuff. I was freaking out. And then now you want me to buy you a drink, and that's my last $3? I was like, fuck you, you motherfucker. I went crazy on him. And then Randy's going, stop. I didn't even notice it was Randy until he came out to the parking lot to talk to me. I had no idea who that was. They're like, did you know you just got in a fight with Evel Knievel? And then guess who was sitting next to Evel Knievel? Oh. It was the two ZZ Top guys, and then it was the Allman Brothers. And this is the craziest thing. After all that, I was dancing at Sapphire out in Las Vegas in 07. Now, this happened way back in 97 or something, where I got in a fight with Evel Knievel and saw, the ZZ Top guys then. They remembered me. They saw me. They came in the strip club at Sapphire in Vegas and remembered me from that last strip club I saw them in that many years ago.
Wow.
They're like, you're that girl that got in a fight with Evel Knievel. I was like, yeah, it is.
Oh, that's
I heard he died. Now I feel bad, but at the time I was ready to fucking kill that guy. Then when they kicked me out and they threw me out in the street, they still kept my $3.
Wow.
So what happened was, Randy tells me, he says, oh, I feel so bad. He's like, you know, I just started kind of confiding in him. You know, I just moved here. My girlfriend's waiting for me at the hotel. I was going to make enough money to pay for the hotel rent. And, you know, we're starving. He's like, well, you know, I got food at my house. There's people there right now. I'm like, why are you at a strip club when you have people, you know, at your house or whatever? You know what I mean? Like, I didn't get that. He's like, I just needed to get out of there for a while. So if you want something to eat, you can come on over and eat. And I just, you know, sat in the car for a little while. I'm thinking to myself, either this guy's going to try to rape me or he's going to be cool. You know what I mean? And at this point, I was like, what do I got left to lose? I have no money, no one to call. What the fuck? So I got in the car and I drove to his house, and he felt really bad for me. He also gave me $100 and his phone number. He's like, if you ever need anything while you're here, I'm always here for you. And I never called him until that girl made me call him and ask for those free tickets.
Wow, that's kind of a coincidence.
Yeah.
What was your first reaction when they suggested bringing you into the business?
I didn't want to. I was completely against it. And then I had, I didn't want people to think that me and Randy, because me and him had been seeing each other way, way long time before I'd even got into the business. And I didn't want people to think that that's why I was with him. And not just that, I was totally afraid of it. I didn't, you know nothing about it or whatever. But what happened was they wanted to switch him and put him with a girl. And Liz wanted to get away from him, so she wanted to go with Lex, and he needed a valet, so they were going to give him Tori Wilson. Well, I flew out to Venice with him, California, and I met her, and I was like, there is no way you are traveling with that girl 3 days a week by yourself alone in hotels and shit. There's no way. He goes, well, then I guess you got the job. And I go, what do you mean? And he's like, if you think they're going to give me a girl, and if you don't, and if you're against it, they're going to give her me anyways. So then you have to do it. I said, I'm not doing that. He's like, well, then she's going to do it because they're going to give me a girl. And so I said, okay. I said, okay to it. And then I tried it, and I liked it. And it was, like, the first time in my life I was actually, remember I said I came from, like, a shitty area and, you know, came from this hood rat chick that had actually got a shot at doing something cool in her life and got lucky. So it was cool. And we got along so good, and we were best friends, and we were great traveling buddies, and, you know, it was a great run. We had a great time together.
Viper, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just wondering, what was the extent of your training, and who did you train with?
There really wasn't no extent to my training, to be honest. The only person, they always said Medusa trained me. Medusa only been in the ring with me like one or two times. It was actually Nora Greenwald that had did it, and Molly Holly, and she did it as much as she could. She trained me for the Charles Robinson match. Randy didn't want me to learn how to wrestle.
Hey, Mom.
What? Yes.
Uh-huh. You could go in the shower.
Okay. What do you call it? That was the extent of that. He didn't want, they kept pushing for me to want to know more about wrestling and, you know, put me through the school and all this and that, and he didn't want nothing, he didn't want me to have nothing to do with that. He was just, he would always tell me, you know, once they get you like that, they're going to break all your bones, you're going to be all fucked up, you don't want to feel like I feel. He's like, you know, if you can get away with being pretty and you be by me, then that's as good. Then they can all fuck off. He's like, you don't need to learn that shit. And then now recently I tried about, this is how I got the staph infection. Just recently, a couple months ago, I,
can you guys shut up?
Sorry. Anyways, I forgot what I was saying now. They just sidetracked me. What was I talking about?
You're talking about your staph infection that you got.
Oh, so just recently I wanted to go and learn to wrestle. I'm like, you know what? I'm around Tracy Brooks and everybody every, you know, almost every other weekend doing these conventions, and, you know, everybody's either my age or older than me, and I'm thinking, you know, if they can do it, then I can do it. Why not try it, give it a try, lose weight, you know, get down to the, what I used to look like and get my ass in gear and try it again, you know what I mean? Do a tryout for them and see if they'll take me. And so I worked my ass off for about 2-3 months. I was going to New York every day or every other day or as much as I could and training with a guy named Azriel. And then all of a sudden I don't feel good. And I had got mat burn on my elbow. And the next thing you know, I got, like, this golf ball-size thing under my arm. And I'm thinking I had a spider bite. I didn't really think anything too much about it. It would get hot, and it would burn, and then it would go away. And then it would do the same thing, like, all day, all night. So then, anyways, I went to the doctor. They gave me antibiotics for a spider bite. Well, then it kept growing and growing and growing, and now I'm starting to feel funky in my armpit. And I was having all these weird reactions. It wasn't just like a fever. It was like, I feel like I was dying. And I kept telling my husband, I'm like, I don't feel good. I mean, when I say I don't feel good, I feel weird. And it went from like, you know, the golf ball size, it started turning into like a Twinkie, you know, and it was from my elbow up. So it was getting bigger and bigger. I could just feel it, you know, crawling up my arm. So we went to the emergency room and they cut it open, and it was a staph infection and squeezed all the juice out. And so now the worst part about the whole thing is now once you get that, you're susceptible to it. So when it comes to going back to wrestling, I'm a little gun shy. And it's just like I'm so afraid to die because I was in the hospital 5 days, and I saw God while I was there a couple times throughout that 5-day stint of being in that hospital. So ever since that's happened, you know, Azriel keeps going, when are you going to come back and start training again? And in the back of my mind, I'm like, dude, I don't ever want to go back near a ring again. I don't know if I could.
I want to interrupt you. I'm thinking maybe he didn't have his place that sanitary.
Well, it wasn't his place. It was just, you know, it could have been from anything. It could have also been we had found a baby kitten here. You can drink that if you want it. We found a baby kitten on the side of the road, and I could have had Matt burn, and then I could have, the cat could have had it because the cat died. It was a baby kitten. And I don't know. It could have been anything. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I'm just scared now. Plus, I also kind of felt like I didn't know how long it was going to take me. I was learning quick, but I also was like, in the same time, I was like, I'm a little shy when it comes to, first of all, I can't talk on a microphone. I know I can't. That's why I never used to say anything, because I was afraid. I don't know what happens. It's like the camera turns on and my mouth just shuts right up. I can talk shit all day long anywhere else, but when that camera's on, I can't say a word. I'm terrible at it. There's no promo throwing for me.
You froze up. You freeze up.
I freeze up.
Corey, I wanted to let you know that New Jack just tried to call me.
Okay.
That's what happens
what?
To a lot of people. You should. I said that happens to a lot of people. You shouldn't feel bad. I mean.
I'm thinking, you know, maybe it's time in my life. Then I got in the car accident with a deer, and I don't know what my band's doing really well. We're getting ready to go record a new CD, so we're getting a lot of fans, and people are starting to figure out my husband has a new band, which, you know, he don't play for the Misfits anymore. He plays in Gorgeous Frankenstein. We have a new singer, and we have a new bass player, so things are starting to change for the band for the better. You know, it's taking us forever to get it off. When you ain't got any money to do anything, it's almost impossible to get shit going, you know what I mean? So we're doing it little by little by little, and it's finally getting to where it's going. So we were hopefully going to be on tour this summer, but I don't see that happening now because the record isn't finished. So we'll see what happens as soon as that record gets finished. Then I'll know where I am.
Yeah, you'll be on tour once the album's done. Absolutely.
Yeah, and then we'll be all right. Then I won't be sitting here ball aching about not having any money. Plus, I've had a hard time with and then when I also started questioning wrestling was I had a stalker messing with me for the last, well, since May, and he's still doing it. And it started out as he was booking me for shows, and then he just started getting obsessed with me, and then I didn't want him booking me anymore, and it's just turned into complete stalker, chaos, nonstop bullshit since May of last year. And I'm still fucking dealing with it. And it makes me sick because what he's doing is he'll go to promoters. It's been really hard for me to get booked because he'll go to promoters. I'll get you Tracy Brooks, SoCal Vale, and ODB, but you can't bring Gorgeous George. And I'll already be on the show, and they'll take me off the show.
Wow, that's pretty messed up.
And then you got these promoters that, you know, they're getting three free chicks because this dude's a fucking idiot, and, you know, of course they're going to tell me I can't come. So my wrestling life lately since May has been terrible, and I've lost, just the month of December, I lost $2,000 from him, and that was my kid's Christmas money. So, you know, you got these fucking Mark pieces of shit that want to, you know, help promote and this and that, and all they are is somebody that's trying to be attached to you as much as possible. It's disgusting. Us girls get it the worst, you know, with shit like that.
I'm gonna have to kick that dude's ass.
Oh, he needs his ass kicked for sure. He's probably listening to this radio interview right now.
Wouldn't surprise me. That's okay. We're not accepting calls, so it's okay.
No, if you were, I wish he'd get on here.
Oh, okay. Well, shit.
Well,
I'll invite him to call in.
By a bunch of monkeys.
Right? If anybody does have a question for Gorgeous George, you actually can call in, though, at 347-994-2320. You know, now talking, you know, we're talking about WCW, and what was the politics like backstage when you first arrived?
Everything is political, I'd say, with wrestling. It's all who you know, chicken, we're getting ready to go, okay? my daughters want me to go to Chuck E. Cheese, and I haven't gotten a shower yet.
Oh.
So we're working on that right now. Everything is political. It's who you know, who you're going out with, who they don't like, who sells the most, who's got the most charisma to make the most money. Everybody gets paid different, you know, it's that type of thing. So, I don't know. It is all political to me. That's why another reason I think I have a hard time getting jobs is when me and Randy first broke up. I definitely think that there was some you know, blackballing going around and around there on that.
Mm-hmm. What led to the breakup, if you don't mind my asking?
It's terrible to say, but what led to the breakup was my sister. My sister and him were getting a little bit too close hanging out with each other, and he kind of fell for my sister while he was with me and more or less said, well, if you don't let me go out with her too, you know, like while you're sleeping, I'll have sex. But this is his exact words were, all right, we were going to move into a house together instead of living in two separate places. And I lived with him for a while, but I couldn't take it because he has OCD. So I got my own place. Well, then I'm like, this doesn't work because, you know, us back and forth. Can't we just get a fucking house together? You know, this is getting too much, the back and forth stuff. So anyways, we were looking at houses and we were going to get one. Well, when we went to buy the house, he comes over one night and he told me, while I'm sleeping, he'll have sex with my sister, and while she's sleeping, he'll have sex with me. And I told him, get the fuck out of my house. I said, you know what? You come back when you're fucking sober, you fucking goofball. Well, the next day, he came back, and he was still bitching about the same fucking thing. So I said, you know what? Stay out of my life. Stay away from us. Me and my sister called a moving company, packed our shit up, and moved right back to Chicago.
Oh, wow. We actually have a caller on the line from the 815, if we can take the call, if that's okay.
Okay, yeah.
All right, caller, you're on the air with Gorgeous George.
Hello.
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 Oh, I'm sorry.
815, that's
where I'm from. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. I wasn't sure that was me. Yeah, hi, Gorgeous George. My name is Anthony Thomas. I actually had a couple of questions that I thought you could ask or that you could answer.
Okay.
You were with Randy Savage for how long? 3 years? 2 years?
Yeah. Two and a half.
Because I really want to know, because if you can either confirm or squash this rumor that's been going on for years and years about Randy Savage ever having any kind of relations with Stephanie McMahon of WWE.
I can't comment on that one.
Okay. just curious.
You
figured I'd...
anything else.
That's it. Thanks.
Okay.
Man, he asked the tough questions.
Yeah, he went right to the juggler on that one.
Shit.
That's all right.
What are your memories of the angle where Nash poured sewer into your limo on Nitro?
Huh?
I said, what are your memories of the angle where Nash poured sewage into your limo on Nitro?
My memories of that is this. That was a real fucking sewer truck, so there must have been shit in it at one time. They couldn't have cleaned it out that damn good for them to refill it up with fake shit to put on us. That's all I kept thinking about was, like, there's still shit in this fucking tank. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
what are your memories of the angle that you worked with in ECW where you were attacked by Francine?
Oh, she whacked the shit out of me with that stick. Almost broke my head. I swear to God, I never knew those sticks hurt like that, man. I hate them sticks. I don't ever want anybody ever in the rest of my life to hit me with one of those sticks. She almost knocked my fucking lights out. I'm not kidding, dude. Oh, my God. I'm like, God, dude, you have to crank me so hard? She was like, I didn't even crank you hard. I was like, oh, yeah, you did. It hurt so bad, you have no idea. That's funny.
You actually appeared on pay-per-view as Tommy Dreamer's secret weapon and attacked Jazz and Francine. What are your memories of that?
Oh, man, back in those days, I used to be high as a kite. It's hard to freaking remember half of my life, but, Yeah, I really can't remember that one too much.
Hmm.
I got on a whirlwind drug trip for about 2 years after I got off TV. About a year. I got real, real depressed, and I locked myself in my room for a year after the Randy thing. I didn't leave my room. I wouldn't talk to people. I mean, I got really bad. I was agoraphobic, and just I couldn't be around people. I started doing a bunch of coke and just blowed my brains out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was about it. And then, you know, it feels good to be clean.
Well, that's good at least. How long have you been clean,
you know?
If you don't mind my asking?
How
long have you been clean, if you don't mind my asking?
2 years.
Oh, congratulations.
Well, and before that, it was I only did it one time before that for 2 years. So actually, I've done it once in 4 years.
Hmm.
And then before that, I hadn't touched drugs since I was 16.
Oh wow! So
yeah.
Not too bad then.
No, I went all from 16 to 27, and then I hit 27. It was just like whammy. I had you know, had the breakup, and then I got in real bad depression. I have real bad bipolarness, so I get really depressed, and I used to just, you know, like to be by myself, and I guess that was like my buddy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, old habits can come back, like I said, if you don't keep them at bay, so I just don't go around people that are fucked up now, and I keep clean. I can't go to meetings. I'm not down with sitting there that long. It hurts my back. But as of, like, being clean and not hanging out with people that do it, if they do it, that's cool. I'm not God. I don't judge. Do it what you want. I just can't be around it no more. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, you know, you're talking about Randy, and we asked a little bit earlier about it, but I got to know, what led to the fight with you and Randy versus Road Warrior Hawk and his wife backstage at the Kid Rock concert?
I hadn't known they had so much heat, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't know anything about them two. He had mentioned once about, like, his wife said that Randy tried messing with her. I'm going, chicken. Is there any way you guys can call me? Like, this kid is going to die if I don't take her Chuck E. Cheese. She's been waiting for hours.
How about this will be the last question? Does that work?
Okay.
And we can have
okay,
you back
okay.
on another time for part two.
Yeah, let's do that. We'll do part two. Okay. Okay, last question, chicken. Okay. Okay. So what happened was he had heat with him because apparently they were all friends. He was really good friends with him. And they were all at a sushi bar sitting around one of the big tables where they cooked the food. Chicken, I said one question, I'm done, okay? Cut it out. So anyways, she's in there pulling her head off. So anyways, he had heat with him because she said when they were at the sushi bar, Randy was fondling her legs under the table while Hawk was on the other side of her. Like, she sat next to Randy, and Randy was supposedly touching her. Well, Randy says he wasn't. And to this day, he said, oh, she was a shit starter. He swore on everything. He swore to God. I believed him, too. I don't really think that he did do what they said that he did. Because, I mean, he goes, why would I fucking lie to you? You know what I mean? He's like, me and you weren't together, so why would I lie if I touched her then? You know what I mean? He's like, I did not touch her. And she would say that I did. And so anyways, they hadn't seen each other in a long, long time. So that just happened to be the night, and I was the only one that wasn't fucked up, and it was bad. It was like everybody else was just off their rocker, fucked up, drunk and shit. My sister was there, and a friend of mine was there, and Randy was there, and I was there, and we were walking backstage, and there's a million security guys, and nobody would jump in on the fight. It was awful. It was awful, and I mean, it looked like two rhinos fighting each other. That's how big they were, and there was like no way, no one could stop it. It was insane, and they ripped the urinals off the walls. It was like there was tiles coming off the walls, the toilets were falling out of the seats, you name it, it was going on. It was something else to watch.
Sounds like it. Well,
yeah.
Real quick, would you like to plug your Facebook or anything for fans to
contact
you?
Yeah, sure. Everybody, I'm almost up to 5,000 people, so if you want to be my friend, you better get on there now.
It's almost fan page time, huh?
Yeah, I think it's almost to that part where they cut everybody off, but it's George Frankenstein, and my band is Gorgeous Frankenstein. That's on MySpace, and I also have Gorgeous George Frankenstein on MySpace as well. So you can hit me up on, and I answer all the questions, so talk to me, people. And thanks so much for the interview. I got to get in the shower for that. Kid kills me.
No problem.
We're going to Chuck E. Cheese, and what do you call it? Whenever you want to ask more questions, I'm always home.
All right, sounds good. Thank you very much for coming on.
See you later. Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Hey.
Gary, what'd you think, man?
Oh, she's a sweetheart. I used to do tons of autograph sessions with her, and I've been on shows with her, and I think she's a very nice person and a very sweet girl.
Oh, yeah. Well, how about this? I know the fans have been waiting and anticipating this, so fans, guess what? We'll be right back with the main attraction of the evening, the original gangster himself, with some words for D-Von.
Shit, I'm tired as fuck. Come on, baby, let's get the fuck home.
I'm a little hairy. I hate this neighborhood.
Niggas been tripping over here and shit. Oh, man.
Hey, nigga.
Oh, shit.
Just keep walking. Don't turn around.
Hey, I'm a fool.
Here we go again.
You and your motherfucking bitch. What's up?
Hey, nigga, why you fucking with me?
Fuck you, nigga, because I can.
All right, you guys there? We are still trying to get Jack on. I just tried to call him. He didn't answer, even though I just spoke to him just a second ago. So we'll go ahead and do what ECW used to do and restart the music as we get him on.
Shit, I'm tired as fuck. Come on, baby, let's get the fuck home.
I'm a little hairy. I hate this neighborhood.
Niggas been tripping over here and shit.
Shit.
Just keep walking, don't turn around.
Hey, I'm a fool.
Here we go again.
You and your motherfucking bitch, what's up?
Hey, nigga, why you fucking with me?
Fuck you, nigga, cause I can.
Alright, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let's welcome to the air the original gangster, New Jack.
What's happening, bro?
Well, what's going on, man?
Man, I'm trying to... Hold on. I was in a gas station today, and I think I peed on my hand. No. No. Serious, I'm just playing. No, hey, I need to clear something up, man, before we even get started, all right? Before we even get started, it's a rumor been going around, and I want to clear it up, all right?
Okay.
Are you listening?
I'm listening.
I did not have sex with Randy Savage. I swear to God.
I heard you had sex with his brother.
I swear to God. They might have looked at me a couple of times and winked at me and tried to pinch me on the booty, but we did not have sex. Yeah, we got that out of the way.
What's up, brother? What's up, brother, from another mother?
Hey, you know what it is, Gary. I'm just chilling, man. I'm just doing my thing. Trying to keep it together. And no, like I'm doing this because I'm lost.
How's your shoulders been feeling, brother?
Bruh, they burn. It's like having a disease you ain't supposed to have. They burn. I've been doing, you know, them little workouts and everything that you asked me to do. I've been doing it, but it burn. But it's working.
That's good. That's good, man. No pain, no gain, baby.
You know what I'm saying? You know, they can't call me fat no more. You know, I done got under. I'm like 230 now, so I think I'm doing good.
Oh.
You know, from 280, 285. I'm down to like 230 now. I think I'm doing pretty good. And I ain't even doing drugs no more.
Huh?
Yeah, so, but I mean, it's good. What's going on, man?
Nothing. We just wanted to call you, see what's happening, and what's going on in the life of New Jack, because everything is happening around New Jack.
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you something, Gary. I know where you're going with this, because before you even ask me, I'm going to go ahead and put this out there right quick. I got emailed. Somebody emailed me, and they said, Jack, they said, did you see did you hear about this promo that Devon did about you? And I was like, no. I said, what is it? So they emailed it to me, and I listened to it. And I kind of laughed about it at first because, I mean, you know, me and Devon, we got a history, bro. I mean, you know, we go way back. I mean, Gary, you was there with when we danced, man, you know, with ECW, you know, for years, you know what I mean? And, I mean, you know, for what we stood for, you know, it's not but like two original ECW tag teams that's still around, that's still even, you know, together, you know what I mean? They either gone or something, you know, something happened to them or just whatever, but it's just like, you know, it's the Dudleys and the Gangsters. You see what I'm saying? And where I'm going with this is he was talking about he would do anything he could to help me get in TNA. But then he turned back around and he said, I talked about him and he's talked about me. We've done DVDs, whatever. But then he went personal with it. And he said, well, you know, Jack know me. And it was something about Tupac and Biggie. He like, I like Tupac. He like Biggie. I'm like, okay. Those were rappers. That's like saying Tina Turner and Aretha Franklin got heat with each other. Like, okay, who cares? They were singers. Okay, who cared? All right. So to compare how I felt about him to that was garbage, number one. But then he went back and he said, but if New Jack want to take this to the street, then, you know, we could take it to the street. Number one, Devon ain't never lived in the street. Devon never was known to be in the hood. And Gary, you know, when we was in ECW, bro, you would find me in the hood. Devon never did the hood thing. The hood, the hood for Devon is Disney World. Okay, that's his hood. That's where he belongs. Okay. Now, you come down on 13th Street off of 1792. That's the hood. where we live. You know what I'm saying? Not where I live, but that's where, you know, you might find me down there. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, don't start trying to play big boy and all of a sudden you're going to start calling me out and that because you're bored and you thinking that, okay, well, you know, we can, you know, make some money, but if he wants to go real with this, then, you know, we can take it to the street because, see, the street is not where you want to go with me. You understand? Because, I mean, you know, and it ain't nothing to brag about, but, see, mine speaks for itself. You know what I'm saying? And everything that I've done, it ain't always been, like, you know, for play. You know what I mean? And, I mean, I know that putting him and Bubba and me and Mustafa in any ring, anywhere, people would pay to see that. At this point in the game, and the way wrestling has changed so much, you know, from 10 years ago, 15 years ago, up until now, you know what I'm saying? It wouldn't be nothing for us to get in a ring together and make money, you know what I'm saying? Which I would have absolutely no problem with that at all. But when you start trying to go street with me and want to call me out like, oh, okay, you want to take it to the street, then that's where, you know, it don't become personal no more. I mean, it don't become business no more. It becomes personal. But the thing is with us is like, I would love to get back in the ring with him and Bubba. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, Gary, you was there with us when we was all doing our thing. You know what I'm saying? You was there with us, bro. And, I mean, you know, the arena wasn't a big building to sell out. You know what I'm saying? But it was the what we did. Everybody knew about what ECW was doing. You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, it was like wars.
I agree with you. I think we changed the business.
You know what I mean? I mean, bro, we you know, a couple of things that he said that I will agree with, all right? And, Garrett, we even done this before. It was like, Jack, we got to go ahead and do this match. You know, we got to do what we got to do. You know what I mean? And don't take none of this personal. But, you know, we would go out there and we would put it down. And, I mean, you know, it's a business, it's a job, it's a work, whatever. But, bro, we did stuff that was convincing. And you might come back later on and be like, you all right? You know, I didn't really mean to knock half of your head off, but, hey, you know, this is, you know, welcome to the business, you know what I'm saying? And that's how we came at it. That's how we went at it. And we did our stuff, and we went out there, and we put, bro, we would put stuff on each other, you know what I mean? And I've seen guys that would come in that locker room and work one time, and they wouldn't come back. Because they were like,
they'd
no.
Roll.
Yes.
They'd roll, baby.
You know what I mean? And I mean, and it's really funny because, okay, when it comes back to me, like, on a personal note, it's like everybody, I always got tagged, you know, with being off the hook. I always got tagged with, oh, New Jack of Travel Hurt you. Oh, you know, everybody always, they will say stuff about me. First of all, they didn't know what they was talking about, number one, okay? People would look at ECW, and when I'm compared to ECW, it was like, man, y'all did, like, a lot of crazy stuff. Okay, well, I would tell anybody because, I mean, I get people, they ask me to this day, you know, if I make an appearance or whatever, they will say, Jack, will you not curse? You know, like how y'all did in ECW, will you not do that? Okay, well, at that time, it was okay to do it because, you know, it was Paulie's company. So he was like, if you want to curse, go out there and curse. He said, if you want to go out there and get in the ring butt naked, he said, you can do it. He said, I don't care. You know what I mean? He said, you can go out there and do what you want to. So I would do it because I was given the green light to do it. You know what I'm saying? But then it's like people look at it now, and it's like people that I haven't even ever worked for will say stuff like, I would never hire him or I would never use him or whatever because of stuff that I've heard. Okay? Now, a lot of stuff that's been put out there, a lot of it is true. Some of it's true. But the majority of the stuff that people say about me and think about me, they don't even know me. You understand? They know a character named New Jack, but they don't know me. You see? And this is when, for years, I would do stuff. You know it. I would do stuff, and nobody would ever say anything. Well, not to me, but they would say it about me. You know? And it was always, you know, New Jack is this, New Jack is that, New Jack's a troublemaker. Dude, come on. Paulie will welcome it. If y'all want to come to the ring drunk, I don't care. I want a show. And there you know it's true. And we would do whatever we was allowed to get away with. You know what I'm saying? Whatever we was allowed to get away with. And for years, I would do stuff, and nobody was, they would never say anything directly to me. It was always, I would hear it third, fourth, fifth, you know what I mean? But I would never hear it from that person. And, dude, it's real funny that I went to a roast that Terry Funk had. And I had been drinking, and I was so messed up that night. And, bro, I was supposed to be roasting Terry Funk, and I think I talked about, I'm sorry, I think I talked about everybody but him. And it was real funny because you know Terry Rums, right? Of course you do.
Yeah.
She came up to me, and I'm sorry, she hit me up on Facebook, you know, and she's like, hi. I'm like, hey, so, you know, we start talking back and forth. And then she says, you know what? I knew of you, but I had never met you. She said, but when I met you, she says, I didn't like you. And I said, why was that? She says, because at that roast, she said, you got up there for about 20 minutes, and you was just babbling and just talking about stuff that didn't have nothing to do with the Terry Funk roast. Now, Gary, I had already got it once when I wasn't on that first pay-per-view. So I thought, you know, okay, Terry, I owe you an apology. But I did it again twice anyway. Well, when she came up to me and said that, at first I was like, you know, who are you to say something to me about what I do? You know what I mean? That's what I want to do. You know what I'm saying? But then I started calling people, and I was asking people that was at that roast. I said, did I do this? And they were like, yep. I said, did I say this? They were like, yep. And these same people, I would go back and I would ask them about stuff of us being on the road and stuff that I did that nobody would ever say anything to me about stuff that I've been doing. You know what I'm saying? Whether it was good or bad, but mainly bad. All right? Nobody would ever say anything. Because I could do no wrong to them. And it took her to pull me to the side, and she said, you know what? She said, the only problem that you have is that you probably don't even realize. She said, you could turn New Jack off. She said, you ain't got to be him 24/7. And, dude, I could have came back at her and told her to kiss my behind, but I looked at it. And I looked at it for what she was saying, and then I looked at all the people that had been around me for all of the years and never said anything to me about nothing. And a lot of the stuff that I was doing, it hurt me in the business. You know what I'm saying? It hurt me as far as people not hurt me like I'm crying about it, but it was just like people wouldn't want to take the chance on booking me because everybody thought I was a nut. Okay, because I created this character called New Jack, and sometimes New Jack would be awake when New Jack was supposed to be asleep. And people would think that they knew me, but they didn't know me. It was just this fool you saw running around on TV, diving off of stuff and killing himself for the sake of a fan and an applause and an ECW chant. You know what I mean? But to know me, didn't nobody care about that. You know what I'm saying? They never did because all they wanted was to see me go out there and either have killed somebody or somebody try to kill me. You know what I mean? And they didn't care about nothing else. And when me and her became friends was when we started talking. And she started, when she told me that, that meant more to me than probably anything that I've heard since I've been in this business, and I've been in this business since 1992. You know what I mean? And it allowed me to just take a step back and look at myself as a person, you know what I'm saying? And then look at myself from a business standpoint to see that, you know, a lot of the stuff that I was doing, I didn't have to do, you know what I mean? I can't go back. I'm not sitting here like saying, you know, asking nobody to be like, oh, Paul New Jack, because, bro, you would never hear that from me. But my whole thing was because I had told you, you know, when we had talked, it was just certain things I want to talk about. That was one of the things that I wanted to get out there because, like I said, it took somebody that didn't even know me to tell me, well, people would not come up to you and say that to you because maybe they was afraid that you might try to do something to them physically or whatever. And it took this little bitty woman to come up to me and say something to me that made more sense than anything I think I've ever heard since I've been in this business. And that's what made me and her friends to this day. Okay? And the only other female that I could honestly say that's cool with me like that would be Dawn Marie. You know what I mean? But it's just she came to me talking about Terry in a way that it meant more to me, you know, than anything anybody has ever said to me, you know, in this business. Because people are like, oh, yeah, you know, New Jack, you know, he crazy. You know, New Jack don't do it. New Jack ain't got good sense. Well, New Jack got a whole lot of sense. You know what I mean? It's just that, you know, I tried to put it out there the way I put it out there. And a lot of times, bro, I thought I knew stuff that I didn't know. And it was chances I was taking, even risking my life, you know, to do stuff, you know, to satisfy a fan. And, I mean, like I said, when the light goes out, you know what? Put that character in the bag and call it a day. You know what I mean? And it took me, like I said, 17 years to get woke up to the fact that what I was doing besides killing myself was being somebody all the time that I didn't have to be.
Now, Jack, I actually have a question for you.
What?
I know you worked with Smoky Mountain Wrestling and got to work with Jim Cornette. Recently, Jim Cornette made threats against Vince Russo. What are your thoughts on the situation in Jim Cornette in general?
I could care less what he said about Vince Russo. I mean, honestly, really, that was like a dumb question, but honestly, I could care less what he said about Russo. And if he made a threat to him, it was by what? By way of the phone, by way of a computer, by way of YouTube.
Email.
Okay, wow. So he should really be worried about that, right? I mean, seriously. That's almost like you emailing me saying, New Jack, when I see you, I'm going to smack you upside your head. And you live somewhere like near California or Seattle or somewhere. Am I worried about that? No. So what are my thoughts of it? I don't have any. Because, I mean, it don't mean nothing. It don't mean Jack. It don't mean nothing at all.
Understandable. Hey, I was actually also wondering, who came up with the idea for you to start teaming with Mustafa originally?
Dude, you are asking me questions that are like 100 years old, and honest to God, I have answered these questions so many times, I'm not going to even answer no more. Because that's like Jesus Christ. Me and Mustafa, dude, he been in the business longer than me. It was 17 years ago when I got into it. Whose idea was it? I don't remember. look at one of my old DVDs, like one I did like about 10 years ago, and I'm sure it's on there. But I really don't remember.
All right.
That's like asking me who made the first 8-track. I don't know. I don't remember.
Gary, go ahead.
Jack, I want to share a time we spent together with all the fans that are listening. Remember we were at Dr. Mark, the ECW doctor's hospital, the ankle hospital? They were getting
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, me and Jack are sitting in the hospital. This director is ready to make a movie about Terry Funk in the business. I'm in a halo because I broke my neck. Dr.
Right.
Mark is sticking a 9-inch needle in Jack's ankle, and the producer just turned white and had to leave the room. It was the funniest motherfucking thing I've ever seen in my life, man.
No, you talking about Barry Blumstein. We did a thing Beyond the Mat. And what it was, when he stuck that thing in my ankle, it was like the size of a nail. And he said, and I was like, God, I was like, bro. And he said, no, Jack, he said, go into character. I said, no. I am in character. I said, it hurts. Because he was sitting there like he was like, it's like he was changing gears. You know what I mean? And I was in there about to scream like a damn girl, bro. He was just like, he was changing gears, trying to get this needle down between my joint. And he was asking me, you know, act like it really hurts. I said, I ain't got to act. I said, I don't have to act. I said, it hurts.
I know, it was funny because he was looking at you hurting, and then he saw me with a bolt attached to my skull.
Yeah. And you walked in and looked like a Christmas tree.
Everybody used to hang their coats on my halo. It was hilarious.
Bro. I mean, even though, it wasn't funny, but honest to God, when you would come in the locker room, and of course it was always either me and somebody else, I'd be like, okay, here come Frankenstein. And he come in the locker room, and people start hanging hats. On his halo.
You remember when Paulie first saw me? He turned white as a ghost, man.
When you came in with that halo?
Yeah.
Gary, I turned white as a ghost when you came in wearing a halo. Alright. People that don't normally turn white, because we was like, why is he here? And Gary was like, ECW. You know? But I'm thinking like, man, you just got your neck broke. And it was like big ups to him because, I mean, everybody was just like tripped because he was even walking. But he came in and actually did a couple of angles with that thing on. And I refused. I said, there ain't no way I'm going to be a part of that. Because I'd be, you know, it would be my luck that I'd be the one to do something. And then I'd be like, uh-oh, see, you broke his neck. See that?
Also, I want to let the fans know, I hope you don't mind me telling them this, but New Jack, you know, everybody thinks he's known as a brawler. But one time we were down the shore where we were getting ready for the show. We were just hanging out by the ring with Todd Gordon and Paulie. And I remember Jack started doing tackle, drop down, hip toss, drop kick. Arm drag. And I remember Todd Gordon sat back and was like, oh, my God, I didn't know you could work like that, Jack.
And see, Garrett, that was the funny part. I mean, okay, as far as wrestling, I mean, I wrestled in high school, you know what I'm saying? But nobody ever wanted to see me get in the ring and wrestle. I mean, dude, if I would have came in the arena, me and Thomas Reamer did it one time as a joke. And my music stopped, and me and Tommy locked up, snatched the headlock, shoot him off, shoulder tackle, hip toss, whatever. And everybody was like, they started applauding. And then I looked at Tommy, and Tommy looked at me, and Tommy said, okay, enough of that. And then they hit my music, and then we just took a little tour around the building, you know what I'm saying? But I'm like, you know, I would have got stoned. People would have been, and I don't mean stoned and drunk, but people would have been throwing bricks at me if I would have gotten in the ring and started wrestling. Because nobody wanted to see that. You know, they wanted to see
exactly.
New Jack.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
It was very surprising to everybody. Just, like, I knew it, and Tommy knew it, and certain people knew it, but, like, most people didn't know it. Even their own locker room, they didn't know it.
Dude, I ain't going to even put him over, but I got to accuse him not knowing how to do a headlock. By somebody that worked with us for years. And I was like, and I couldn't even make fun of it because I'm just like, again, nobody wanted to pay to see me do that. You know what I'm saying? They wanted to pay to see me do what I did, you know, and then leave the building with this big knot inside of my head, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, just then, you know, head busted wide open or whatever. You know, that's what they wanted to see. They didn't want to see the old stuff. You know? So I gave them, you know,
also,
New Jack. That's what they wanted. That's what they got.
That's what they wanted. Also, I was watching ECW Classics a couple days ago, and I saw you do the Eagle's Nest dive on top of Devon Dudley, which looked incredible, I want to say.
Well, which one? Because the first one, the table was pushed back too far. And that was the one where, like, I was, like, running in the air with my arms swinging back and forth. I was trying to gain. Yeah.
You were swimming in the air, baby.
Hey, well, that was the one where I put the table back. I pushed the table back too far. And I didn't realize it until I was airborne that I was going to fall short of the runway. And that was the first time that I did a dive. That was the first time. And the reason that I started even doing it was because Paulie, which, I mean, you know, there's no heat now, you know what I mean? And, you know, he was mad at me. He had hate with me. And Mustafa was always guilty by association. But Paulie had heat with me for something that I had done, something stupid. And I told Mustafa, I said, I'm going to do something in the match. I said, ain't going to remember the finish. And he's like, okay, Jack, I got you. I said, just hope I land the right way. And he said, what are you going to do? I said, just follow me on it. So he's like, all right. So that was the first time I dove. And after I did it, then they wanted me to do it every week. And me, like a retard, started walking in buildings, and the first thing I do is look at the highest point of the building to jump off of. You know.
I remember in Pittsburgh, you had that huge spot when you went up to you and the, forget, one of the Baldies maybe, climbed
Vic
up
Grimes.
To the scaffold.
It was Vic Grimes.
The scaffold. Whoever it was. Once they got up there, he goes, I'm not going. And Jack goes, fuck you, motherfucker. You're going. And Jack went.
That was Vic. That was Vic, and it was in Danbury, Connecticut.
Oh, I thought it was in Pittsburgh.
It was in Danbury, Connecticut. And I had, the weather was bad, and whoever was driving me that night, we was having problems driving because I don't know if it snowed, something happened, but I got there a little late, and the police said, I want y'all to do a double bump, both of you, just out. So I was like, all right. And he said, it's a scaffold out there. So I asked Vic, I said, did you go and check the scaffold to make sure, you know, it'll hold both of them? And he said, yeah. I said, are you sure? He said, yeah. He said, it'll hold both of them. I said, okay. And I found out later that he never went and checked. So when we got on top of the scaffold, it was a little bitty beam, barely, holding the scaffold together. And I'm like, Vic, on three. He said, Jack, I can't do it. Now, this is a conversation we having during a pay-per-view. On live TV, I said, Vic, let's go for all three. He said, Jack, I can't do it. It's too high. I said, okay, one, two, three. And I pulled it. And when I pulled him, he did this flip, this little dumb flip, and his back ended up against my head, and it drove my head into the floor. And that's when I cracked my skull. But yeah, that was Danbury, Connecticut. It was March. It was March 16th, 1999.
Yeah, that was one sick bump, man. One sick bump.
You know, and but then I don't know, bro. You know, it's like I said, people they just expected me to do that every week. You know, and back then it was fine. You know what I'm saying? Back then I was like, I'll do it. And then you get 10, 15 years later, and you walking like you got a pole stuck up your butt, and you be wondering why. Well, that's why. You know, it's like watching that movie, I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker, when the dude said, you want to take the stairs or the elevator. Well, see, if I would have had a choice, I would have took the escalator or the elevator. You know what I mean? But no, I went out the window. And hit the ground doing 100 miles an hour. Flat. And what did I get for that? EZW.
Jack, we actually have a couple callers on the line.
Go ahead. Shoot.
All right. Caller from the 228. You're on with New Jack.
Hey, Jack. What's going on today, bro?
No, man. What's happening?
Oh, it's going, man. I just wanted to tell you, you know, all them crazy bumps and shit you used to take. I know that and a quarter got you a cup of coffee at your nearest coffee shop, but I appreciate it, man. I still get on YouTube to this day and look at some of that crazy shit you do, and these cats now, they can't pull it off, man.
Well, Bob, you know what? I appreciate it, you know what I'm saying? And, I mean, you know, like I said, you know what I mean? I said it before, I mean, you know, I was doing my thing, you know, because that's what I was getting paid to do. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, people like yourself, I appreciate you, you know, giving me that. Because, I mean, like I said, I mean, you know, that's what we did. We performed. You know what I'm saying? And I tried to give everything I could when it was my turn to go on stage. That's what I did. And thank you.
That's right, man. That's right. I just wanted you to know, man, I appreciate it. I'm a long-time fan of yours, man, and I'd love to see you on TV again, cutting a sick promo on Devon's loaded ass.
Well,
I would love it. I would love to murder him in a fucking interview.
Well, you know what? Like I said, look, you never know. You know what I mean? Because I'm not too old, you know, where I can't do it. It's just, you know, I backed out of the game by choice, not by force. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, if I want to get back in it, I can get back in it. If I want to do my thing, I'll do my thing. And as far as that goes, again, with Devon and with Bubble, dude, I don't care what or where we are. You put the four of us in a ring anywhere, and I would challenge anybody or for any company to try to outdo what we would do in a ring. On a business level, I would challenge anybody to let us go out there and do what we did back then to this day. I would challenge any company. You get anybody to try to go against the four, not to go against the four of us, but to try to outdo what we would do to each other on a money tip, I bet you I win that bet. You know what I mean?
You would.
See, because, I mean, like I said, you know, business is business, and, I mean, you know, I'm going to keep it real with you. You know what I'm saying? Anybody that's done seen us dance before, bro, they know what we are capable of doing, and I can still do it. And I know Mustafa can still do it, you know. And if there's ever a time or opportunity for it to happen, oh, you best believe you'll be reliving some old stuff, be coming back to your head, because, bro, we will put it down. You can bet that.
You know they're not going to pull that shit in TNA. TNA, doesn't it? They don't want you hurting them guys like that, man.
Well, like I said, you know, if the opportunity comes, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's why I said them, because it would be like they know what to expect from me and Mustafa, just like we would know what to expect from them. If I got in the ring with Gary Wolf, Gary would know what to expect from me, just like I would know what to expect from him. You know what I'm saying? And this is stuff
Jack,
that...
Jack, Jack,
Jack's got the fork and I got the super bomb.
You know, you know,
hey,
and
man,
I mean,
I remember that time you had that halo on and Shane went in the ring and shook the shit out of it, and those fans got crazy, man. Man, I remember.
Just jumped the rail.
God.
Hey, wait. What was that boy's name? What was that boy's name? That jumped over the rail that time.
Ed.
Oh God. Yeah,
old
when you were somehow down. Huh?
It was old man Ed, I think.
Yeah.
With white hair.
Oh girl, I know what I meant. I called you. This is what I meant to ask you. Listen, what was this girl's name? Alright? You gotta help me with this. It's been like a trivia question like all week. What was this girl's name? She used to work at ECW. And she went to WCW for a minute. And she was Sandman's like valet. What was her name? She was Sandman's valet, but she, wait, she became famous. She became famous by this videotape started circulating the locker room, and all of a sudden, she got hired. It was a videotape that she had done, her and some girl and some dude, and she got hired with WCW for like a real quick minute. And she used to come out to the ring with Sandman. She was a little short blonde. What was her name?
I'm trying to remember. I know she had blonde hair, and she used to wear, like, she even did the flannel gimmick with Raven, right?
Right. And I wonder, I keep wanting to say Daphne or Destiny or something, but I can't, what was that girl's name?
Destiny? Maybe?
And I know somebody out there knows.
Real quick, we actually have another caller on the line. Call from the 111 you're on.
It's been real, man. Keep it up, bro, all right?
All right, bro. All right, man.
Hold on. Man, take it easy, man.
All right.
Later, bro.
All right, call from the 111. You're on the air. All right.
Go ahead.
Did he hang
up?
Yeah, go ahead, Gary.
So what have you been doing lately, Jack, besides working out and getting in shape and you think you're going to get back in the ring and do some damage? Because I'm telling you, the Dudleys, the Gangsters, the Pitbulls, the Eliminators, I mean, ECW tag teams are far in between from the tag teams that are in their business today. That's what I think.
Right. So... Well, to answer the first part, I mean, you know, I had to lose a lot. I had to lose some weight, man. You know what I mean? I mean, I had gotten like really disgustingly fat. I mean, it was to a point, bro. It was embarrassing. You know? I mean, you know, I got that tattoo on my stomach that said "Gangster." Dude, these were like the letters, like it was like about 4 inches long. That's how fat I got. I was wearing like a 48 pant. A 6X shirt, you know what I mean? Dude, I wouldn't even wear shorts. This is like the first summer I've been wearing tank tops and white beaters in 10 years. So I had to get, you know, I had to get the weight off me. I had to. It was either that or die. So, you know, I'm just preparing myself, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, it feels better not to be, you know, fat like that, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just, you know, preparing myself, you know what I mean, and just trying to work out, trying to eat right, trying not to, you know, do stuff that I was doing back in the day. Well, I ain't going to say trying because I'm not doing it, but I mean, you know, just keep my body right and just trying to get my head back right. That's all. That's all I need to do.
Well, I'm very proud of you because, you lost a lot of weight and you sound very, very, very dedicated.
You know, well, like I said, bro, I mean, you know, it's either you either make a change, you know, to make yourself better, or you just don't care, you know what I mean? And you just, you know, life will go by you so quick, and then you look back, and you 50, 60 years old, and you still saying, I don't care. I didn't care. Well, you just, I didn't care your whole life away. You know what I'm saying? So it has to come to a point where you either.
And you can say, I don't care, but I guarantee you he does care.
Yeah, no. I'm not saying me now. It's just at one point there was a time where I didn't care. I ain't care about nothing. I was like, I don't give a flying fuck. I ain't care about nothing or nobody. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, this is like on some personal stuff. You know what I mean? And it was like, bro, I was my worst. It's like I had demons on my, all like around me, and the demon was me. You know what I'm saying? I was my worst enemy because all the damage that was being done, I was doing it to myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I would purposely just run people away from me. You know what I mean? I would make you mad just to make you just get the hell away from me. You know what I mean? And you couldn't have done nothing but just made it say it something or just looked at me wrong. I'd be like, what you looking at? You know what I mean? And then it's like, you know, you wake up one day and you say, yeah, you know, and then you wake up one day and you say, let me call somebody. And then you look through your phone and be like, damn, ain't nobody to call. But don't nobody want to talk to me. You know? And I mean, you're like,
I wanted to ask you, when we were in Cleveland, I was outside.
I did not sleep with Rick Rude. Say again.
No. I remember you pulled up in a red pickup truck, and you must have slid about 10, 15 feet, and you locked them up. You got out of the truck, opened up the bed, and pulled out a chainsaw, brother.
Uh-huh.
What was that about?
No. I had Yeah, you know, to be honest, I don't even know. Like I said, just stuff like that. I don't even know. Because I think it was an L-150, something like that. And I had this big old chainsaw in the back. For what reason, I have no idea. And I remember that. I jumped out of the truck, and I caught it up and ran inside. And everybody that was on that side of the building went to the other side of the building. And I started laughing.
I was following you, and then I realized where you were going. You were going to the Dudley's restaurant.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, that's what happened.
Oh, God. Well, like I said, bro, We went back and forth for years at each other. You know what I'm saying? And it was always internet. Always, you know, if I see you. Well, see, now the time can come where you're gonna see me now. You know what I mean? So now it's like, you know, this ain't, you know, nothing about, you know, going to jail. You know what I'm saying? Anything about going to jail. Now it's about making some money. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, you know, back then, and that really wasn't too long ago, but even, like I said, bro, back then, we didn't care. You know, we didn't care. And this is my point when I just said that. We didn't care. And you just keep looking at your life and just keep not caring, and then you'll be too old. It'll be too late to start trying to care. Because you'll be sitting somewhere in a wheelchair or somewhere drugged out looking retarded. And you mad at the world because I didn't care about nothing, and now you got just what you deserve, absolutely nothing.
Now, Jack, we have a caller from the 858. Caller from the 858, you're on with New Jack.
Hey, New Jack, it's John Allen. Good to talk to you. Hey, thanks for doing the show, brother. You're one of the best promos and interviews I ever heard. It's off the hook.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, I actually got to be there for what I believe was your last match at the XPW reunion show a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I mean, again, that was off the hook as well. I just wanted to, you know, kind of get your take on what that night was like for you and, you know, how you reflect on it now that it's been a couple of years.
Dude, I mean, I don't, you know what? It was a few years ago. I don't even remember too much of what we did. Honest to God. And it's not because, I mean, you know, nobody was drunk or, you know, on drugs, whatever. You know what I mean? But it was just at that point because they didn't even know I was gonna do it. I didn't even know I was gonna do it.
Well, I remember.
But I just got to the point where I was just like, I don't want to do this no more.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I just don't want to do it no more.
It was a scary thing. I mean, I'm familiar with your work. I heard about all the, you know, the crazy weapons you bring down. But against these two kids, it's you and Mustafa, and you pull out this sort of claw thing like you're Wolverine from the X-Men. I'm like, Jesus H, is he kidding me with this?
You know what? Somebody, buddy of mine, Van Hughes from Pittsburgh, Van had this thing about knives, just like I do. And every time he would get this magazine, and they would come out with all these different, like, knives and stuff. So he caught me.
You guys there?
Hello?
Yep.
I think we just lost Jack.
No! I didn't get to ask him about the bake sale.
I know. Hang on. I'll get him back on.
All
right. So, real quick, let's go to a commercial break, fans. We'll be right back with New Jack, so stay tuned. And we will go ahead, and because I can.
Go down.
You hung up on me.
I didn't hang up on you.
Gary did.
Get him, New Jack. Teach him a lesson.
Somebody did. No, well, anyway, what was the last thing you heard me say before we got disconnected?
Oh, you were talking about how somebody had an idea on they were really big on knives like you were, and we were talking
about...
Yeah,
my buddy Van Hughes, he was really big on it, and he got that call for me.
Jeebus H, that thing was...
He got it for and you know what, honestly... I think I've cut myself more times with that thing than any other thing I've ever used.
Wow.
I've stabbed myself in the arm. I stabbed myself in the side of the head.
Stabbing, man. Jeez.
Huh?
There's always stabbing involved, man. It's very. I don't know anybody else who kind of has that sort of a. I don't know if you'd call it a gimmick or a. Persuasion in wrestling, except like, you know, when Sheik pulls out, you know, his little spike or something like that. It's very,
right.
Yeah. You've literally carved out a good niche for yourself.
It was a plot. I mean, honestly, when I first started using the staple gun, okay, I didn't have staples in it. Okay, and we would work it like I did, but I didn't. And then one day, this kid, I did this indie show, and he said, New Jack, will you staple me, of all places, he said, will you staple me and my tongue?
What?
And I said, how am I going to staple you in your tongue? I said, first of all, I said, I don't even have staples in the staple gun. I said, well, how am I, he said, and he had already figured out, he said, well, I'm going to do something to you. And I'm gonna keep licking my tongue out of you.
Oh, man.
He said, and then one time I'm gonna stick my tongue out, and you know how you put your thumb in your ears and do a little wave with your hands?
Yeah.
He said, I'm gonna do that and close my eyes. So whoever was driving me that night, I said, I want you to go to the Home Depot or whatever. I said, and get some half inch staples.
Wow.
And he got them, and true enough, this kid opened his mouth and stuck his tongue out and licked his tongue out of me and closed his eyes and did the little fingers in the ear thing waving, and I stapled him right in the tongue. And that was when I started using staples in the staple gun because I never had him in there. It was always, you know, it's like a magician. It was like an illusion.
Yeah, yeah. This kid must have been screaming his head off.
Yeah, but then people start saying, will you staple me? I'm like, are you, have you really, like, lost your mind? They're like, no, will you?
Yeah, dude.
And then, you know what? I'm going to tell you when I knew that I had lost my mind. I cut a promo one night. And for some sick reason, I was like, I really wonder what does this feel like. I'm doing this promo down in Puerto Rico with Fabio Vega. And we cut in the promo, and I took the staple gun, and about 9 times, I stapled myself in the forehead. And honestly, my forehead is really, like, numb, but did it hurt? Yeah, it did. And I was like, people actually want me, or they wanted me to do it, so I would do it. And then everybody just started catching on to it. People wanted to get stapled in the ear. People want to get stapled in the top of the head. They want to get stapled in the jaw. They want to get stapled in the butt. They didn't care. I mean, I had this kid down in Florida one time and asked me, he's the new Jack. I just got this waiver. He said, and I had it printed up, and he said, it's been notarized, the whole thing. He said, will you take these bolt cutters during the match and clip off the tip of my pinky finger? And I said, you done lost your damn mind. He said, no. He said, no. He said, no. I want you to do it. He said, I got the form. And he showed me the form. And it said, you know, there will be no, he had somebody type it up. It was retarded. But I was like, do you really think I'm going to take some bolt cutters and cut your finger off? He was like, dude, please do it. And, of course, I didn't.
No, yeah.
Because that just would have been one more add-on to it. Yeah, that's the one that cut the dude's finger off. But I'd have been, and you know what, I wouldn't have had no argument other than to say, but he asked him to do it. And then somebody else would have came back and said, now who would be dumb enough to ask you to cut their finger off? I'm like, that guy.
we have one more caller, Jack.
Okay.
Caller from the 352, you're on.
Hello?
You were on with New Jack.
First of all, I'm very scared because I've never done live television or live radio or live internet, so just be patient with me. But I just wanted to say that I just got a phone call, and it was from Randy Savage, and he said that it's never too late. And I just wanted to express that. and then I wanted to ask, why in the hell didn't you say that you stopped by my house for breakfast this morning on your way up north? Answer me that question, would you, Hancock?
Wait a minute, why didn't I do what now?
Why didn't you tell anyone that you stopped by my house for breakfast this morning on your way up north?
I didn't know I did I?
Wait. I will say something to you that I say all the time, and the funny thing is, when I say it around my child or anyone else, I say it in jest, and I say it all the time. Are you smoking crack? Are you smoking crack? Wait. You're the only person that I say, are you smoking crack? And you go, not anymore.
I told you I quit.
You are too funny.
I told you I quit.
I'm upset because I would think that these guys that know you would, like, ask you questions that I have never, ever, ever heard before. I'm waiting to hear some good questions, some questions.
Right.
Give me some questions.
See? And you know, and Gary's sitting there right now with his finger up his nose, like, who is this?
I was gonna say, are we on this show together, just you and me, or are they actually running an interview show? What's the, I don't hear anyone else.
I caught on right away. It was Terry Reynolds. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, you caught on right away. Okay. All right.
I did. I was sitting there in the chat room going, guys, Terry Reynolds has just made a guest appearance. And people are like, no way. I was just letting you two talk.
Hey, well, what did Gary do there?
Dude, what? Gary's sitting over there on his phone going, who the hell is this? I know I've talked to this person before.
I said, no, like, no. Where did Gary go? Did he die? So he ain't said the word. He's like, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, say something. God damn you, say something. Gary? I think Gary died.
Wait, Gary, you there?
Yeah, I'm good. I think before the staple guns, I think Jack used to bring forks, iron.
No. We don't hear a word we just said. We don't want we went past the staple gun like 20 minutes ago, and he just woke up. Now, before the staple gun, he ain't heard a word of what just happened in the last 5 minutes.
Bro, I'm fucking straight.
What?
It's glad to hear from you, Terry. Nice to hear from you again.
Yeah, this was like really interesting because I was waiting for you guys to run the show, and I was actually very pleased to hear my good friend and compadre and my partner in crime for breakfast this morning on his way north that he didn't speak about.
he danced
a show today.
Jack, she wanted you to put her over, baby.
No, man, I'm not putting her over. It's just that you didn't even know who it was.
I knew who it was. She used to manage me and my partner. You fucking kidding me?
Wait, excuse me? I used to manage you.
I think you managed me and my partner
Gary DeLuna
a couple times.
Wait. Okay. You said it like it was like a long term thing. I was just gonna say I don't remember that, and I've never smoked crack, so.
Hey, Jack.
Hey. You should try it. No, you should.
Hey, guys, I'm going to let you go and have fun. And I don't even know what to call you because I don't call you what everybody else calls you. So I'm going to go outside. It was funny. I was sitting outside by the pool making this phone call. And guess who walked up in the back of the pool?
Well, of course you are. You're sitting by your pool smoking your cigar. Drinking a glass of wine.
No, not right now. But wait. Well, I'm looking for me. I'm sitting out there, and I'm, like, lounged out waiting for whatever Jack Ball's going to answer the phone finally. And, I mean that lovingly, guys. And so my little cleaning guy, my little yard guy, who, like, you know, can work for 14 hours and still not – accomplish anything, bless his soul. God loves him. He walked out and was starting to play around the pool. So I said, I'll go inside. You go ahead and you get this pollen all out. I'm going to go inside. So.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what.
I'm in hiding.
Now that the world know that we're friends.
No, we are oil and water. We are oil and water.
I know. Yeah, look, all I can tell him is this. Don't hate me. Hate Jesus.
Jesus. Wait. You did tell them how much I hated you in the beginning and how much I love you now, right?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, just making sure. Just checking.
When we first started the interview, I don't know where you was at. Probably sitting out in the pool smoking crack. But...
Wait, did you tell him that you hung up on me because I shot straight from my heart to you and you went ka-chink, ka-chink?
Yeah.
Did you tell him that part?
Yeah, I told him. I said, as long as I've been in this business,
Ain't nobody ever stepped up to me and said nothing to me about nothing. I tell you, I'm not about to sit here and redo this interview because you just have to jump in.
I'm a flash.
The best thing I can tell you to do is go on the internet and listen to it because you didn't care. You listen to Gorgeous Joy, but you ain't listen to mine.
I have stuff to do. Listen, if you're coming back through anytime soon and you want breakfast, lunch, or dinner, call ahead so I can get the ingredients ready and I'll be happy to prepare your meal. I had a great meal this morning. I hope you did too. And I'm just ashamed that you didn't tell everyone what a good cook I am for breakfast.
Hey, Camo. Hey,
Danny,
the Camo in the truck.
Stop
hey,
it.
Girl.
Is he? Hello,
yeah,
Camo.
Hey,
baby. Wait. I have to go. Randy Savage is on the other line. I'll talk to you later. Bye, guys. Bye. Have fun. Bye.
Hey, you tell Randy to stop telling people I slept with him.
I'll tell him. He's just asking me if he can come for breakfast in the morning with you. I'll tell him no. Okay, bye-bye.
You tell him to stop spreading lies about me.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, Jack.
Yeah?
You were telling me a story earlier about your friend in the eye incident. You want to elaborate to our fans on that?
Wait a minute. I was saying what now?
Yeah, about your friend sleeping with the girl and she popped out her eye?
Oh, dude. One of my buddies called me the other night. And he was like, dude, I got something to tell you, man. You ain't going to believe this. And I said, what? He said, man, I met this girl at the bar. He said she had gotten drunk. But we had gotten drunk. He said, so we went. He said, I brought her home with me. He said, and we was doing it. He said, all of a sudden, she told him to look. And the light was on, but he doing the thing, got his eyes closed. He opened his eyes. He said she had popped out her eyeball. Because he didn't know that she had a glass eye or a rubber eye or whatever kind of eye it was. And she was holding the eyeball like right in the center of her forehead. And all he could see was one big old hole, her eyeball and then her real eyeball. But she was holding the other one with her hand, with her two fingers. Dude, I ain't gonna lie. When he told me that, I was eating and I threw up. I'm not lying. I threw up.
He probably got some Vaseline and used it.
Look. And then she would have seen him coming. I couldn't have did it. I couldn't have did it, bro, but it was a true story.
Now, we've only got 1 minute left.
Right,
I only had one question for you left, and that's what does the future hold for New Jack?
What does the future hold for me?
Yep.
You know what? I couldn't tell you. Because I could pull out of this parking lot right now and get ran over by a damn truck or a bus. I couldn't tell you. I live each day one day at a time. You know what I mean? And it, you know what? It goes the way it goes. If things go the way they should go, then you might be hearing or seeing more of New Jack. But at this point, I can't tell you what the future holds because I don't even know. I have no idea.
Okay.
Well,
okay,
listen, Jack. This is Pitbull. I just want to say I hope you stay healthy. Good luck in the future. We all expect to see you in the future, especially on TV.
Right.
Also, I want to say if you ever need a Pitbull, I'm for hire.
Hey, Pitbull. Actually, real quick, we had a caller that was on the line earlier that had one last question. John Allen, go ahead with that question.
Yes, New Jack, are you taking bookings for speaking engagements?
For speaking engagements? If somebody's paying money, and yes, if they're paying money, if they're, you know, I don't do it for free, and if it's something that you want to discuss with me, you can hit me up.
Well, we got a Christian bake sale going on down here in San Diego, and I was just wondering if you'd be down for that.
Oh, you got jokes now.
What?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do it.
Awesome. We'll see you there.
I tell you what. Hit me up on my email, which is newjackuncut187@yahoo.com.
Absolutely. Peace be with you, New Jack.
All right, man. Be good.
Bye.
Yeah,
I had to say, I set that one up.
Now.
I set that one up.
Now.
Hey, could you imagine that?
Oh my God, people would die.
Hey, I actually had this guy. He said, I run this Christian Federation. He said, would you be willing to come in and work? He said, but you got to come out dressed as the devil.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry.
God. Oh,
I
man.
I said, why I got to be the devil? Why I can't be God? He said, ain't no damn way.
Well, Jack, listen. From Gary the Pitbull, JT, and we're very happy that he came on, and we want you to come on again. And remember, from the first interview we ever did, brother, we said Obama's going to be elected, and we want that barbecue.
Hey, you know what? I think I said he wasn't going to be elected. I believe because I was getting hate mail. I said he was.
I said he was.
One of us said he was, and one of us said he wasn't. Well, I think I was the one that said that he wasn't. And I started getting hate mail. People were emailing me, cussing me out.
Well, to all those that are out there listening, I know that Jack wanted him in, and he's in, and we're going to have that barbecue eventually.
Oh, we'll have it, bro. No doubt, we'll have it. Like
all
always,
right, brother.
Gary, it's always good to hear from you, man. And, I mean, you know, you got my number. You know, give me a hit. And I'm sure somewhere we'll get together down the road somewhere.
Oh, baby, definitely, absolutely. And if you need anything about workouts, call me up, bro, and I'll help you out any time I can.
I'll do that, man. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, man, what a great interview. Actually, that was two great interviews, Gorgeous George and, of course, New Jack. I thought it was great, and I want fans to check out FalseCountRadio.com, of course, this coming Wednesday. There is going to be a very special episode on False Count Radio as me and the Pure Plays and Viper will be interviewing 5 independent workers, not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4, but 5 indie workers. So head on over to the Blog Talk page to find out more information about that. For Pitbull Gary Wolf and Viper, I'm the Pacific Coast Player JT Evans saying have a good night.